Let me invite you to stand with me this morning as we read the sermon lesson. It's been a joy to preach from the Old Testament prophets through Advent, and we come today to the prophet Isaiah in chapter 7. Words that you've already heard this morning, quoted by Matthew in the account of Jesus' birth. But let's hear them from the prophet Isaiah. And again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." And he said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men, that you must weary God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel." This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray together. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you for this word from your voice, your heart, your mind, a word fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Let that same Holy Spirit who first inspired these words settle over our hearts and minds now. Write them on the tablets of our hearts, that inspired by his love, we may walk in your ways. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's be seated together. Just a couple more days. Tuesday, Christmas Day. Well, I thought I'd get an amen anyway. Thanks be to God. It's a joyous celebration. Americans, apparently, I read in the paper last week, are going to spend over $160 billion on Christmas this year. Now, that's a party. I don't know what all you're asking for. I certainly hope you receive and are able to give all that you desire. I remember a story about a lady who told her husband a few days before Christmas, I had a dream, and in the dream, you gave me for Christmas a diamond necklace. And on Christmas morning, sure enough, under the tree was a beautiful box, lovely, and when she opened it up, there was in the lovely box a book on interpreting dreams. In fact, dreams actually do play a big part in what we celebrate together as the people of God at Christmas. And you heard it this morning in the gospel lesson. While the angel Gabriel comes to Mary in person, the angel is sent to Joseph in a dream. Not unlike his Old Testament namesake, he has dreams that come from God that instruct him. He'll have a dream again about fleeing to Egypt, but in this initial dream, he discovers how this prophecy we've just read from Isaiah is to be fulfilled. Joseph was the son of David. Joseph, son of David, the angel says to him in the dream. But there really wasn't anything very regal about the carpenter there in Nazareth. He was poor, lived in a small village. Sepphoris would have been the big town. He lives an obscure life. He's in the outskirts. He's on the margin. Barely making it. But he has a dream, not unlike any of us. He has a dream, a hope, and he has a girl that he loves. And they're betrothed, and he can't wait to marry her. And then he gets the word, and he gets word that his beloved is expecting a child. And he knows that they've never been together, and his whole world is shattered. And questions flying through his mind, and doesn't know what to do, and makes up his mind to do the best thing that he knows he can do. He doesn't want to embarrass her. He doesn't want to shame her. She must already have enough of that, he thinks to himself. I'll just quietly put her to the side and try to put the pieces of my life back together. And he goes to sleep. And in his exhaustion, the angel comes to him and says, "Joseph, You've been to synagogue. You've seen the scroll of Isaiah opened up. Let me remind you of his words. The virgin will conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel, God with us." The child Mary is carrying is conceived by the Holy Spirit. "Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. because she's a chosen vessel of God, and so are you. And Joseph woke up with his world back together in a foretaste of how our shattered lives would be restored by the one that Mary bore. Behold, the virgin shall be with child. A virgin. The Hebrew word here in Isaiah chapter 7, some people say, well, yeah, it doesn't really mean virgin, it means young maiden. And that's true, it does mean young maiden. But that's because in the Old Testament prophets, there are, and this is the way prophecy works, there are prophecies which have an immediate and partial fulfillment, and then they have an ultimate fulfillment. And while that term young lady or young maiden certainly means young maiden, it's often used of those who are not yet married and are clearly virgins. But it is young maiden, and that's because there is an immediate and partial fulfillment in what's said. Isaiah comes to Ahaz, he says, ask the Lord for a sign. I'm not asking God for any signs, Ahaz, that rascal, sounding all pious. And God says, I'll give you a sign. The young woman will be with child. Because really what happens, if you read Isaiah 7, 8, and 9, you read this whole section together, is that in chapter 8, Mr. and Mrs. Isaiah start having children. And here's what Isaiah says about his children. My children, Isaiah says, are for signs and wonders. How many of you know that your kids are signs and wonders? They make you wonder sometimes, don't they? I mean, they do. Mine always do. My youngest will say to me almost every Sunday, Dad, why do you preach so long? You know, I mean, they break it all up for us, don't they? You know, they, you know, during the passing of the peace, I'll say, peace of the Lord be with you. Can we go home now? That's the proper liturgical response, isn't it, if you're under the age of 8? That's what happens. There are signs and there are wonders. Mr. and Mrs. Isaiah start having kids. And it says their names are prophetic. But their names mean this, judgment's coming. That's what their names mean, judgment and destruction. Isn't that great? This is my son, Judgment. This is my daughter, Destruction. Oh, family portrait. Wow. But if you keep reading, Mr. and Mrs. Isaiah start talking about another child yet to be born, a son to be given, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. And God's zeal is what will accomplish this. So there was an immediate fulfillment. Mr. and Mrs. Isaiah started having sign and wonders children. But there was still a later fulfillment that was meant to happen. And that's why in Matthew's text, when it talks about the virgin giving birth, the word that it uses means quite distinctly, quite literally, the virgin. The one who has never known a man in any way. Because that which is conceived in her, the angel tells Joseph, is from the Holy Spirit. So Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary. She's going to bear a son. She's going to bear a son, and you shall name him. And here's the name. You name him, Joseph, but here's the name. Joseph is given a kind of authority, the authority of a father. It's the authority of naming the child, but he's told what to name it. Because there's a duality here, isn't there? The child Mary is carrying is supernaturally in her womb. He is the Word made flesh. This is God, the eternal Son, come to us. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He's the eternal Son of God from the Heavenly Father. But Joseph's being brought into the scene here, and he's being given authority to give the name. And in that duality of supernatural birth and adoptive father is the twin identity of what it means for us to be the children of God. Because you and I are also in need of a supernatural birth. Paul says that we are, like Isaac, children of promise. A promise was made to Abraham. He and Sarah had to wait years for it to come to pass, but it did come to pass. They had a miraculous child, and he says, really, all of us are miracle children. We're all signs and wonders children. We all are children, and we're signs and wonders, and it's a miracle that we have what we have, because as John writes, not everybody believes in Jesus, but the ones who do are the children of God, and they are born of God. You heard that in the epistle today in 1 John. Those who are born of God love God. They love Him not because of something that initiates in them. We love Him because He first loved us. This is why Jesus says to the greatest theologian of Israel in His day, you need a second birth. You need a supernatural birth. You need to be born again. But not only is there a supernatural birth which is ours, there is, in what Joseph does, the act of adoption. Joseph is the son of David. And in receiving Jesus into his home, he becomes Jesus' adoptive father. I'm an adoptive parent. And one of the things that happens when you adopt is that you afflict upon all of your friends and neighbors an interview process where those who are placing children come and talk to them about you. Now, this can be somewhat disconcerting. You want to take those people out for dinner. But it basically comes down to one principle. The person asks this question. What I want to know is if you would place your child in their home. I want you to think about the kind of man Joseph must have been for God the Father to say, I'll put my son in his home. Joseph was an adoptive dad and made Jesus an adopted son. Jesus had a supernatural birth. He had an adoptive relationship. Jesus was the adopted son of an earthly father so that we could be the adopted children of our heavenly Father. Here's how Paul puts it in the book of Romans. You did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. You've received, listen to this, the spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if we suffer with Him in order that we may be glorified with Him. F.F. Bruce, that remarkable New Testament scholar from the University of Manchester, now home with the Lord, he wrote these words in Commentary on Romans. In the Roman world of the first century, an adopted son was deliberately chosen by his adoptive father to perpetuate his name and inherit his estate. Deliberately chosen to receive the name and inherit the estate. That's who you are. You are the adopted children of God, and God, before time began, chose you in Christ. You are deliberately chosen by God. You are His people, and He has given you the name. He has given you the name of Jesus. You are called by His name. And He's not only given you the name of Jesus, He's not only called you Christian, He has given you all that belongs to Jesus, all of His inheritance. Everything that belongs to Christ belongs to you. Everything that's wrapped up in His name is now your identity. You, beloved, are the children of God. This is something which God has done. He has made you His own, dear children. This is a love which sent His Son to die on the cross, a Son which came as the first, Paul writes, of many brethren. And God declared you His own children, and when He did, it can't be taken back. I remember standing with infants in arms in front of a judge, Judge Daniels. And he looked at us and he said, I want you to understand that whatever happens in your life or whatever takes place, If you say you want them, they're yours, and they're yours forever. Got it? Yes, sir. Done. We walked out. Whatever happens, they're yours. When Jesus hung on the cross and he died, the Father looked at you and said, mine. He made you his. And that love which reached out to you and adopted you will never, ever let you go. And that means you have the spirit of adoption in your heart and you can cry out, Abba, Father. You can celebrate that. Tuesday morning is going to be filled with the shouts of children as they revel in their gifts. But no matter how young or old you are, let me remind you this morning that every single one of us are children. And because Jesus has come, the supernatural Son of the Virgin Mary, because he comes as the fulfillment of prophecy, because he has come as the adoptive son of Joseph, because all of that is true, you can also, no matter what your age, be a child and shout for joy on Christmas morning, Abba, Father, because of Emmanuel, the one who is God with us. Beloved, you are the children of God, and nothing will ever change that. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Father, we wonder at your amazing love that would deliberately choose us, that would give us the name of Jesus, that would give us his inheritance. We are stunned, but we are so thankful that you have adopted us. Thank you for Joseph, the earthly father adopting the eternal son, that we might, earthly sons, be adopted by our eternal father. Grant to us, O Lord, an increasing gratitude for this great treasure. And give us on Tuesday shouts of joy, crying out to you, Abba, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.